Vernon, I understand that you're seeing a dramatic expansion in IT infrastructure, an explosion, really. So is this causing any issues in terms of synchronization between business units and IT?
Tom, I think that's one of the challenges for all IT managers and executives today, is to understand what is driving that explosion, and more critically, how to take advantage of that to tie it back to the business units. So that's one of the things I think we need to really address. So, on that, let me walk you through what we consider today's landscape of the IT infrastructure and what and why there is a need to correlate the IT infrastructure to a rapidly changing business unit image. So today, when we talk about the business case for dynamic IT infrastructure, let me show you how IDC, as a research firm, takes a look at the infrastructure that's been built and how we support it and potentially how we could manage it in the future. As I walk through the agenda, the first thing we want to talk about is there a disconnect between what the business unit wants and what IT is delivering? Then introduce the concept of the dynamic IT, which for IDC is our view of the adaptive infrastructure that you're going to hear later on today, but really both are meant to be the same reference point and the same messaging. So let's not get confused about names, but understand what it is we're trying to achieve. And if we understand what it is we're trying to achieve, how do we approach the business units with this and take advantage of it? So over the next 10 minutes, we're going to take a rapid view of what's going on in the industry. Today's business units are striving to keep up with rapid changes demanded by the customers, their suppliers, and even more critical, the competitors. The days of long-term competitive advantage are long gone. In fact, there's a strong case that all that exists today is a temporary advantage, and consequently, it's even more important that all the components in the value chain work in a cohesive manner. The challenge for IT is that they need to be able to create an environment that allows for rapid product innovation, speedy integration, if there are mergers and acquisitions across a diverse set of critical systems. For some of our research, we know that appears to be a level of frustration between the business units and IT, and I'm sure there's plenty of us out there in the audience today who experienced that firsthand. The results I show here, take a look at the long-term product cycles, are really a thing of the past. There's a lot of pressure on the IT group to provide a better platform that supports rapid change and at a low cost point. So is the solution to provide more infrastructure with bigger capacity? After all, having more servers, more storage, more software must be able to deliver better service levels since everything is becoming a commodity. Or is that really a problem in the future? So let's take a look at today's blueprint to meet tomorrow's business requirements. We went from the share everything environment about 20 years ago when resources were expensive and scarce. Remember those time sharing days? To today, where it's easy to install technology on a one-to-one basis and no application sharing is common. However, this is what I call the iceberg effect. Inasmuch as it's not what you see above in the infrastructure that you should worry about, but rather what's underneath. Several of the many effects can be seen in this chart. For example, the low utilization of the server over very long periods of time. And that's not a good story to tell the business units and CFOs. So let's take a look at the type of server infrastructure that's being forecasted. There are several key points here. There are several key points to lay out here. The first, take a look at the infrastructure that will be dominated by the industry standard volume servers, such as those built on the x86 architecture. You can see from the chart here, from 2002 to 2004, we have about 1.8 million new servers being deployed into the data center infrastructure. And look at it, look at to 2009, and now you see that number on an annual basis moves to 4.9 million. The growth rate is astonishing. The actual numbers of new servers almost double. We are at the upside of a hockey stick-shaped curve, so that means that things will only pick up faster in the later years of this forecast. But the scary thing, or the message delivered back to the CFO, is one of, don't worry, these servers won't cost much since, as the chart shows here, they're almost all under $3,000 per server. But remember the iceberg effect? The tip of the iceberg is the number of servers being installed. And I think you can start to see the iceberg form under your eyes. Think about now the infrastructure build-out as we go through this analysis. Another characteristic of this trend is that the server market will deliver even denser, smaller servers built on what we at IDC call the two-way server market. In other words, it has a server with two CPUs or two processors. This adds another dimension to the infrastructure equation, one of server density. And that's another major component of the iceberg. Finally, with adding annually the over 4 million new servers into the install base for the United States, we think that we're going from about 12 million servers installed to 16 million servers. So you can see that the growth rate is simply outstripping the retirement rate, and therefore means that the walls of the data center will soon be, if not already, bursting at the seams, something that I'm sure, again, many of you are experiencing. Finally, if we know what the servers are getting cheaper, that they're getting denser in the compute capacity, what's happening to their form factor? In this chart, we talk about blades, rack-optimized servers, and non-rack-optimized servers. And non-rack-optimized servers are the pedestal-type devices that you tend to kick and bump into in the data center. We see that there's a major shift from a pedestal to the modular blade format. Are we sailing the IT infrastructure right into the server iceberg? We are sure that the blades need to be seriously taken because the blade adoption is currently outpacing that of the last change when pedestals were replaced by the pizza box rack-optimized servers. So I think you've got a good handle on what's going on down the road as the vendors ship their technology to you. So what's driving the future? So what's driving the future of blades into the server adoption? First of all, there's many vendors participating and giving support for the blades. Equally so is the notion of openness, that these blades can be used on any operating system across a very wide range of products, whether they be in the server, the network, and storage. So the impression is that you can do a lot with these. And the key point here is that they appear to be cheap. And when I say cheap, I really mean inexpensive, not in the sense of not worth a lot, but in the price point, very competitively priced against the rack-mounted servers. But the key point here is that to manage this explosion of blades, we're going to have an enhancement to the systems management tools. We're going to have some way to look at this emerging and growing new infrastructure. So the question here is more infrastructure better? But no matter what blades do, will they help to solve the issue that the server infrastructure that we are currently building, where issues such as systems management drive a sevenfold cost uplift, power and cooling is becoming a rapid issue, and the number of resource administrators to manage reaches a dangerous capacity threshold. But today's IT infrastructure can't deliver this dynamic or adaptive business model that I referred to in the middle. So while So while today's infrastructure has provided much economic wealth, it is brittle, it is far from agile, and it's definitely far from being adaptive towards these new requirements. So what we have to do is understand how do we transform this brittle infrastructure to the dynamic IT end game of providing flexibility, efficiency, driven into the IT enterprise. The IT architects need to take the infrastructure in its entire environment and attempt to make as many of the components as modular as possible. In doing so, early phases of flexibility, scalability, and adaptability will be achieved. In these environments, we begin to meet the needs of the business units clearly laid out for us. This transformation transcends the business strategy and operational efficiency to build out what we would consider a services-oriented architecture. For example, the business strategy, as a reference here, would contain things like monitoring and analytics, things like business process, access and interface. The operational efficiency layers would have all the common elements that we in a data center mode would be familiar: platform monitoring, virtualization, metering, security. And combining those, you end up with this end-to-end dynamic management, which ultimately provides the services-oriented architecture with the services-oriented infrastructure. But the benefits for the dynamic IT are wide and important because, first of all, they bring simplicity to the environment by reducing the IT cost and complexity. Change control and change management is better, and naturally, over time, silos of organizations work together. It creates the agility, the ability to adapt in real time to business needs. It drives a change to create that competitive advantage and perhaps change that temporary advantage to a little bit longer. And last but not least is the importance of extracting the value of the IT infrastructure to the business units to allow growth and profitability, unlock the assets, and free up resources for innovation. So in summary, what's going on? We believe that the IT is changing rapidly at the higher level business processing layers, and consequently, there has to be a natural interaction between the lower IT operations, and therefore be able to create this dynamic infrastructure. We believe that modularity is the way to go forward because of its simplicity to implement. But the key point here is that modularity needs to be managed carefully to avoid server sprawl. And the last point is that across the IT organization, through the CIO and the CFO, the executives need to understand the benefits of the modular infrastructure to extract the most out of the operational costs to allow that capital innovation to occur. By lowering the overall operational costs, you free up that capital to invest in application development and therefore meeting the business unit requirements. So, Tom, thank you very much. I'd like to hand it back to you.